Live from our nation's capital, it's the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
I am your host, Mark Levine. Pope Francis is in Washington, D.C. today, speaking before Congress, speaking for the American people, and because he's in Washington, I'm not. The Center for American Progress is closed today, so much is the traffic around Washington, D.C. So I'm home again, out of Alexandria, Virginia. I realize the sound is not as good from home. I should be back at Center for American Progress tomorrow. But I hope you'll bear with me because I want to spend most of today talking about Pope Francis's address to Congress and playing for you large clips from it. If you didn't hear it, it was quite a lot to listen to. Now, the Pope, obviously, English is not his first language or even his second language. His first language, being Argentinian, of course, is Spanish, and I'm certain he speaks Italian and Latin as well. He may speak many other languages, but English is not his first or second or third language, so when he speaks, he does speak quite slowly. And I ask you to, well, bear with the pontiff and listen to his words closely, and I'll be commenting on them as we go along. Congress, I should say, was Congress. They were a little more restrained than usual, certainly more than the President's State of the Union address. Some of the clapping seemed a bit awkward, seemed like politicians were trying to get in their approval of one thing or another. But I do think the Pope gave us a deeply moral message and one that should resonate for our times. So without further ado, I'd like to begin with the very beginning of the Pope's address to Congress. This is clip one. Let's play it.
I am most grateful for your invitation to address this joint session of Congress in the land of the free at the home of the brave.
This probably got the loudest cheer from Congress with standing ovation. When he gave America's favorite way to call itself.
I would like to think that the reason for this is that I too am a son of this great continent from which we have all received so much and toward which we share a common responsibility.
This is a theme that the Pope brings up many times throughout his address, that he too is an immigrant. And of course, those that know his history know that he was born in Argentina of Italian parents. So he was also an immigrant. And given all the discussion in America, particularly from Donald Trump and others about immigrants, I think his words about immigrants, particularly in America, the land of the immigrants, were some of the most poignant and some of the most powerful things that he had to say. He also reminds us of something that, well, not too many Americans think about, which is that we all share a great continent. In fact, even though I just use the word Americans to refer basically to the citizens of the United States, the continent of America, North America, and South America is joined together in one large continent. And technically, I guess Americans would include all of us from Canada in the north to Argentina and the South. I realize that I and others use the phrase Americans to refer to those that are citizens of the United States, but he reminds us of our what we share in common. And then he moves on in clip 2A to talk about what a lawmaker's responsibility should be. And I thought it was very, very special that he mentioned the image of Moses right there in the congressional chamber.
Moses provides us with a good synthesis of a work. You are asked to protect by means of the law the image and likeness fashioned by God on every human life.
This was a very special image. Moses, of course, is the great lawmaker. How fitting in a Congress that makes the laws. But reminding us that laws serve a purpose. They serve to protect the common good, to be sure, but also to protect the human dignity of every human being. And whether you believe that comes from God or you believe that simply that comes from, well, human dignity, either way, he points out how important that was. He also points out in the next clip, 2B, that he's actually talking through Congress to all of us in the United States.
Today, I would like not only to address you, but through you, the entire people of the United States, here together with the representatives, I would like to take this opportunity to dialogue with the many thousands of men and women who strive each day to do a honest day's work, to bring home the daily bread, to save money, and one step at a time to build a better life for their families. These are men and women who are not concerned simply with paying their taxes, but in their own quiet way, sustain the life of society. They generate solidarity by their actions, and they create organizations which offer a helping hand to those most in need.
I thought that was a particularly poignant way to talk about, well, what most politicians should be but sometimes aren't concerned about. Thousands of men and women who strive each day to do an honest day's work, to bring home their daily bread, to build a better life for their families, that they're not concerned just with paying their taxes, but to sustain their societies, to make America a better place, to remind us why, indeed, we should have representative democracy. He then moves on in clip 3 to talk about problems all over the world, particularly problems of religious conflict. I thought this was, frankly, the best part of his entire speech. I want you to listen very closely as he describes how religion can be used as a force for good or a force for evil.
All of us are quite aware of and deeply worried by the disturbing social and political situation of the world today. Our world is increasingly a place of violent conflict, hatred, and brutal atrocities, committed even in the name of God and of religion. We know that no religion is immune from forms of individual delusion or ideological extremism. This means that we must be specially attentive to every type of fundamentalism, whether religious or of any other kind.
Pause it right there for a second, if you would,
Andrew. A delicate balance is...
We'll move on to the clip in a second, but I think it's really important that when he talks about religion, he doesn't talk about Christianity, Judaism, or Islam. Certainly, we've heard a lot of vicious attacks on Islam. He points out that all religions are subject to ideological extremism, which, of course, all religions are. And even if we're mostly concerned in America today from Muslim religious extremism, he doesn't emphasize that. He emphasizes that any religion can be extreme, any religion can be dangerous, and we have to be attentive to it from every source. Let's go on with the clip.
This means that we must be specially attentive to every type of fundamentalism, whether religious or of any other kind. A delicate balance is required to combat violence perpetrated in the name of a religion, an ideology, or an economic system, while also safeguarding religious freedom, intellectual freedom, and individual freedoms.
Congress, applause. It is a delicate balance to combat this violence in the name of religion while safeguarding individual freedoms. But listen as he goes on.
But there is another temptation which we must specially guard against. The simplistic reductionism which sees only good or evil, or if you will, the righteous and sinners. The contemporary world with its open wounds, which affect so many of our brothers and sisters, demands that we confront every form of polarization which would divide it into these two camps. We know that in the attempt to be fed of enemy without, we can be tempted to feed the enemy within. To imitate the hatred and violence of tyrants and murderers is the best way to take their place. That is something which you, as people, reject.
Now, this is a very, very important thing that he has to say, and I'm going to repeat it because I know with his accent it can be hard to understand what he said. He says, there is another temptation which we must especially guard against, the simplistic reductionism which sees only good or evil, or, if you will, the righteous and sinners. The contemporary world with its open wounds, which affects so many of our brothers and sisters, demands that we confront every form of polarization which were divided into these two camps. You got it? It's not all black and white. It's not all good or evil. That he calls simplistic reductionism. It's not like you're always right and the people who disagree with you are always wrong. It's not like the entire world is full of righteous and sinners. All of us are sinners, and most of us have the opportunity to be righteous. We are both righteous and sinners. We are imperfect humans. And I think it was Jesus who said that, you know, don't look at the speck in your neighbor's eye before looking at the large stick in your own eye. I'm paraphrasing. The point is that this simplistic notion, this almost right-wing notion that everyone is good or evil, is exactly what he's fighting against. We must confront this polarization. And then he goes on to say, very powerful words, you might not have caught them. We know that in the attempt to be freed of the enemy without, we can be tempted to feed the enemy within, to imitate the hatred and violence of tyrants and murderers, is the best way to take their place. We cannot fight hatred and violence, he's saying, with hatred and violence. It's very, very powerful words. I'm not so sure that we can't sometimes fight violence with violence. It's a very tough thing not to do. But certainly we have to be careful in fighting the enemy without, that we don't feed the enemy within. Very powerful stuff. We'll be right back with more of the Pope's speech and your calls. 888-48-MARK, 888-48-6275, right after this. to the address of Pope Francis to Congress. Quite inspiring on a lot of issues, everything from immigration to poverty to the violence all over the world. What did you think of the speech? We'll be playing more of it after the break, but first let's get to a few of your calls at 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. Jeff from Arizona on line 3, how are you?
How you doing, Mark?
I'm all right. What were your thoughts on the speech?
It was just an amazing speech, really, to be honest. Everything about it. I am Catholic myself. It just brought me closer to as a Catholic, and then solidified my. It was really important for him to come to America and give his message like he did it's to everybody, but specifically to Catholics. I think it's real important that he did that, and it just helped me understand what he's talking about. Now, we might have a little disagreement, not much. I mean, everything he said, I sure was just blown away by. Just important speech for everybody. What I would say is that there's dogmas of the church that cannot be compromised. Then there's the heart of Pope Francis, which is the violence and the immigration and the climate stuff. That is something from his very heart of hearts. I think it's very important. I think we could still have a disagreement together and still be very agreeable and not say, not totally disagree. I don't totally disagree with what he was saying on immigration and climate. So,
and we're going to play after the break.
Very powerful.
It was very powerful, too. I thought it was very humane. I am not Catholic, but I still thought it was a very powerful, universal message. And frankly, I thought it was delivered in a universal way, which I, as a non-Catholic, appreciated. He talked about people of all religions making America great. He pointed out the danger of fundamentalism and violence in all religions and how when we fight extremism, we must not become extreme ourselves. And I like that it was a universal message in that regard. When we come back, we'll be talking more. I'll be playing some of the parts about the immigration and the refugees. But I got to tell you, I think it was a response in some ways to Donald Trump and his more anti-immigrant message. Did you think so?
Donald Trump's not Catholic, and he doesn't agree with the Pope on that, he gave a very powerful a line, if you play it later, that we must protect humans to the very earliest stages of life.
Because his focus on saying that was actually not on abortion, but on the death penalty. And I will be playing that clip later on in the broadcast. Thanks for your call, Jeff. I appreciate it. When we come back, we're going to get back to more from the Pope, specifically on immigration, on the death penalty, on the Golden Rule, and yes, on climate change. This is Mark Levine. Be right back right after this. Levine, we're talking about Pope Francis' speech to Congress. It was really very powerful. I think when he talked about immigration specifically, it was a direct response to people like Donald Trump, or more often his followers, because I don't really take Donald Trump seriously, who seem to be afraid of immigrants in this nation. I think what may most be remembered is what he had to say about protecting immigrants and the foreigners in our midst. This is clip 5. Let's play it.
Of the Pope. In recent centuries, millions of people came to this land to pursue the dream of building a future in freedom. We, the people of this continent, are not fearful of foreigners, because most of us because most of us were once foreigners. I say this to you as the son of immigrants, knowing that so many of you are also descendants from immigrants.
So it's interesting how he points out that we actually have a lot in common in the New World, in the America, South America and North America, Argentina and the United States. We are both cultures built largely from immigrants. We didn't always respect the rights of the native population. In fact, we didn't respect them at all. He's going to get to that in a second. But it's interesting how he connects with us in that way. Let's play on the clip.
Tragically, the rights of those who were here long before us were not always respected. For those peoples and their nations from the heart of American democracy, I wish to reaffirm my highest esteem and appreciation. Those first contacts were often turbulent and violent, but we know that is very difficult to judge the past by the criteria of the present. Nonetheless, when the stranger in our midst appeals to us, we must not repeat the sins and the errors of the past. We must resolve now to live as nobly as and as justly as possible, as we educate new generations not to turn their back on our neighbors and everything around us.
Here he is arguing strongly that we need to open our borders, to open our hearts to immigrants all over the world. I thought it was interesting when he talked about our first contacts, meaning with Native Americans, that were turbulent and violent. He kind of excuses it a little bit by saying it's difficult to judge the past by the criteria of the present. I don't think that was an applause line. My guess is a few conservatives in Congress chose to applaud that line as if saying, hey, you know, yeah, we massacred the Native Americans, but let's move on here. I think he cut off the applause pretty quickly when he went on to speak the next line about the stranger in our midst, because I don't think he wished to applaud that part. He moves on, though, and this is really important in the context of immigration and also in the context of what's going on in Syria and the refugee crisis facing Europe. A lot of people in Congress haven't focused on the millions of refugees from Syria, partly, I think, because they're Muslim and mostly and not Christian. But the Pope certainly focuses on them in clip six.
Our world is facing a refugee crisis of a magnitude not seen since the Second World War. This presents us with great challenges and many hard decisions. On this continent, too, thousands of persons are led to travel north in search of a better life for themselves and for their loved ones, in search of greater opportunity. It is not what we want for our own children. We We must not be taken aback by the numbers, but rather view them as persons, seeing their faces and listening to their stories, trying to respond as best we can to their situation.
So he talks not just about the refugees from Syria, but also, yes, the Mexicans and Central Americans and South Americans that are coming north, people who are led to travel north in search of a better life for themselves. Who's traveling north? Obviously, those from Latin America searching for greater opportunities in the United States. And he points out these are not to be seen as foreigners, as different from us. He says, is this not what we want for our own children? We must not be taken aback by their numbers. Don't let the numbers keep you from looking at their faces and listening to their stories. These are people. These aren't just numbers. Let's move on.
To respond in a way which is always human, just and fraternal. We need to avoid a common temptation nigh awaits to discard whatever proves troublesome. Let us remember the golden rule. Do unto others as you will have them do unto you. This rule points us in a clear direction. Let us treat others with the same passion and compassion with which we want to be treated. Let us seek for others the same possibilities which we seek for ourselves. Let us help others to grow as we would like to be helped ourselves. In a word, if we want security, let us give security. If we want life, let us give life. If we want opportunity, let us provide these opportunities. The yardstick we use for others will be the yardstick which time uses for us.
The yardstick we use for others will be the yardstick which time will use for us. As we judge others, so we shall be judged. If we want life, let us give life. If we want opportunities, let us give opportunities. If we want security, let us give security. Let us give to others, via the Golden Rule, exactly what we want for ourselves. Congress was quick to clap the Golden Rule, but I hope they heard the implications of the Golden Rule as well. He goes on to talk about the Golden Rule as defending human life. And yes, there's a large clap when he says at every stage of its development, no doubt from conservatives who believe that he's talking about abortion. But he goes on to talk about how he sees defending human life. He points out that the abolition of the death penalty is very important to him because every life is sacred. And he makes that, and it's very interesting because his comments about the death penalty receive far less applause than his really quite euphemistic, backhanded way to say that he's opposed abortion. Defending human life at every stage of its development gets a lot of applause. Abolishing the death penalty gets some applause, but not quite as much. Let's play clip 7.
The Golden Rule also reminds us of our responsibility to protect and defend human life at every stage of its development.
He tries to go on, but the clapping continues.
This conviction has led me from the beginning of my ministry to advocate at different levels the global abolition of the death penalty. I am convinced that this way is the best, since every life is sacred. Every human person is endowed with inalienable dignity, and society can only benefit from the rehabilitation of those convicted of crimes. Recently, my brother bishops here in the United States renewed the call for the abolition of the death penalty. Not only do I support them, but I also offer encouragement to all those who are convinced that a just and necessary punishment must never exclude the dimension of hope and the goal of rehabilitation.
So the Pope is calling for the abolition of the death penalty in America. I don't think that's something that will happen anytime soon, but it was nice to see him tell Congress something he really feels, which is that punishment must always include the possibility of hope and a goal of rehabilitation. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we've got more from the Pope. He talks about poverty, climate change, and the arms trade. We'll also try to have time to take some of your calls at 888-488-MARK. This is Mark Levine, back after this. I'm your host, Mark Levine, playing excerpts from the Pope's address to Congress, and also there'll be a little bit of time at the end to take your calls. Let's go quickly to the last clips I want to play. The first clip, 8, is about the cycle of poverty.
At the same time, I would encourage you to keep in mind all those people around us who are trapped in a cycle of poverty. They too need to be given hope. The fight against poverty and hunger must be fought constantly and on many fronts, especially in its course. I know that many Americans today, as in the past, are working to deal with this problem.
Actually, I would say not enough Americans are working to deal with poverty, and it's interesting that that did not get claps from Congress. In clip 9, he goes on to talk about climate change, perhaps the first pope to talk in detail about climate change. This is clip 9.
This common good also includes the earth, a central theme of the encyclical which I recently wrote in order to enter into the dialogue with all people about our common home. We need a conversation which includes everyone, since the environmental challenge we are undergoing and its human roots concern and affect us all.
It is, after all, a worldwide problem.
In Laudato Si, I call for a courageous and responsible effort to redirect our steps and to avert the most serious effects of the environmental deterioration caused by human activity. I'm convinced that we can make a difference. I'm sure. And
makes it clear that if environmental deterioration caused by human activity, some Republicans would dispute that, but he's convinced that we can make a difference. And at the end of this long applause, he finally gets to the point of asking this Congress to make that difference.
And I have no doubt that the United States and this Congress have an important role to play.
In the very last clip, clip 10, he talks about something that's almost never discussed in the United States, the arms trade. After all, the United States is the country that gives the most arms around the world. And yet, I'm sure the people who clapped, and many did clap, were thinking that our arms prevent other arms. But is that always the case? Sometimes it's true, no doubt. Sometimes, though, the arms we give out turn out to be used against us and others we care about. Let's play the clip.
Being at the service of dialogue and peace also means being truly determined to minimize and, in the long term, to end the many armed conflicts throughout our world. Here we have to ask ourselves, why are deadly weapons being sold to those who plan to inflict untold suffering on individuals and society? Sadly, the answer, as we all know, is simply for money. Money that is drenched in blood, often innocent blood. In the face of the shameful and culpable silence, it is our duty to confront the problem and to stop the arms trade.
Loud applause. Money that is drenched in blood, often innocent blood. Very strong words. Only got a few seconds left, but Carol from Wisconsin has been hanging on a while. Carol, your 20-second thought on the Pope.
Oh, no. Well, as a former Catholic, I thought it was a great speech, but I was just concerned for a couple of reasons. He said he was not going to change church doctrine. And I was also wondering your thoughts, Mark, and if you thought he took a swipe at gay people when he said he could not hide his concerns about the family, which he feels threatened.
I don't think so, Carol. I didn't see it that way. I'm afraid we were running out of time, but I would say that he didn't say specifically he wouldn't change doctrine. That wasn't part of the speech. I saw it as an open beginning of a dialogue, so I'm still hopeful. This is Mark Levine. We'll have more tomorrow.